thank you that no matter what circumstance of life, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, when we are confused, when we don't know, when we can't see, we can trust that you do, that you see, that you know, that you love, and that you will guide us. So Lord, help us to understand that the full measure of life is not contained, is not examined, is not tabulated by the way of man. That the fullness of life, the victory in life, Lord, the things that really matter are measured by you. That a victorious life, that a real life is not measured in years. It's not measured in the corporate success we may have maintained. It's not measured in the amount of money we've amassed. But that, Father, it is measured by hearing you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord." So, Father, help us to cast aside the cares of the world, the things that would pollute our minds and that would hinder us from living the life that you desire, that would hinder us from walking closer to you. Father, help us to cast those aside and focus fully and completely on you this morning. Help us to be still and know that you're God. To not allow intrusive thoughts and distractions to come into our lives and to separate us and to redirect us away from you. Rather, Lord, help us to be focused on you and to hear your still, small voice. Father, I pray you forgive me of my sins. Help me to be your instrument here this morning. We continue to pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me ask you, are you in the right mind this morning? Now that answer would not be something that the world can answer for you. Somebody might say, well, that person's not in their right mind. Well, what do they know? They may not be in their right mind either. As a matter of fact, the world is not in the right mind. The world is not in the right mind. Don't expect them to be. And if you are taking guidance from the world, if you are taking suggestions from the world, then you are already in bad shape. Because we've already talked before that the way of the world is the broad way, is the wide path that leads to destruction, and many there are that are going therein, right? That narrow is the path and winding is the way that leads to life everlasting, and few there are that find it. And if we're not following Jesus Christ, we are not on the narrow path. If we're not following Jesus Christ, I'm telling you to start with, we are on the broad, the wide highway that leads to destruction, traveling along with everybody else. You do not want to be there. So a few verses of Scripture we're going to look at this morning. First of all, from Philippians 2, 5 through 7, Scripture says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So at the very beginning, we're going to say that the right mind, the mind you want to have in you, is this mind, the mind of Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but, there's another one of those buts we were talking about in Scripture, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of what? A bondservant. And coming in the likeness of man. What's that saying? That's saying that Jesus Christ is God. It's not robbery for him to say he's God because he is God. But it's saying the mind he had was, even though he is fully God, that he came here. That's what we're going to celebrate December 25th. Him coming in the form of man, lived among us, suffered, bled, and died for each one of us. He came in the form of a bond servant. He came in the form of a servant, not for his own good, not for his own glory, but for our good. Scripture says, for the joy before him, the cross, he came. We have pictures and we have decorations of the manger scene because we think about Christmas being about the incarnation, the birth of Christ, and it does celebrate that. But I will remind you that the manger that he was laid in, is nothing would not matter at all had it not been for the cross and the empty tomb. Because He came not to stay a baby in a manger, but to be a Savior who died on the cross and conquered death so you and I could live with Him forevermore. That is the gospel message. So, Philippians tells us that right off at the very beginning, the mind we've got to have is the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Now, this next verse of Scripture is one of the passages that I oftentimes quote, but it's in the J.B. Phillips translation. So unless you are reading from the J.B. Phillips, you better look up on the board because it's not going to be the same words that you find in your Scripture if you're looking at New King James or English Standard or something like that. With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give Him your bodies. Now, Him is Jesus. To give Him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to Him and acceptable by Him. Now, I'll underline this next verse here. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Now, J.B. Phillips is English. That's why it's spelled M-O-U-L-D, okay? Into its mold. But let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all His demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within. Let's keep going. Romans 8, 5 through 6. For those who live according to the flesh, now the flesh doesn't mean the skin you got on you. The flesh means the way of the world, the fleshly nature, that part that is controlled by Satan, the prince of the air, the way of the world. For those who live according to the flesh set what? Their what? Their minds. They set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now that's a Spirit with a capital S. That is the Spirit of God. For to be carnally minded, that means worldly minded, fleshly minded. For to be carnally minded is what? It's what? That's right. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit of God, the things of the Spirit of God. If you did not realize it before, let me reiterate to you today that the battleground, the spiritual battleground that goes on every day, all around the world, all day long, is in your mind. It is in the mind of everybody. That's one reason that I spend so much effort and so much time with the kids, with the King, first thing in the worship service, because I want their minds to be fertile ground for the Spirit of God to start working. Because I promise you, if the Spirit of God's not working, I'm going to tell you whose spirit is working. His name is Satan. And he will absolutely grab them. No doubt. No doubt. So, three things we're going to look at today as we consider if you're in the right mind, if you're sitting here today in your right mind. The first thing is worldly thinking. You know, you go to a doctor and he draws some blood, or maybe he does some x-rays, he may run a stress, he does all these kind of tests to see if you're okay, if your body is okay. And he may even do some tests to see if your mind is okay. But the test we're going to do today is not the test he's going to do. The test we're going to do today is the test God is going to do. So you see, worldly thinking, to start with, we need to understand that it is a powerful attraction to our worldly nature. Let me ask you, how many in here ever go fishing? You go fishing? Oh, y'all need to, yeah, there's more of y'all than that. Go fishing. You use something called bait. Why does bait work? Now, sometimes I know it don't. But why does bait work? Because it is attractive to the fish. Now, if you're a professional fisherman like somebody back in the back over there, You might have a better idea of the kind of bait you ought to use than I would. Well, I guarantee you, Satan is extremely adept at the bait he uses, because Satan does not have all power, and Satan does not have all the time. He's got to use what he's got right now. He can't wait, because judgment is coming. See, unlike some people, Satan realizes his time is limited and he's got to get with a program. See, Satan don't take a vacation. There's a lot of folks that don't come to church on Sundays sometimes, but Satan comes every Sunday. He doesn't miss it, because his intention is to derail you if he can. So we need to understand to start with that the way of the world is attractive to our worldly natures. It sounds right. You start talking to the human, because you start talking to somebody who is engaged in a lifestyle that's not pleasing to God, or maybe it's a debate or a discussion about the way of the world, and they're going to take a point that, oh, it's okay. And they really believe it, because they don't see it, because it is attractive to them, and they think, well, because it's attractive, I need to be able to do it. Why do you think the world gets so upset when you say that XYZ is a sin? Because they want to do XYZ, and they don't want you to tell them it's a sin. They don't want to be told that. They don't want to be told they're doing something wrong. They want to be told everything's going to be okay. Well, I'm not going to tell you everything's going to be okay, because it's not going to be. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's not going to be okay. It's going to be very, very bad, and it's going to get worse. Well, you know, that hurts my feelings. Well, I'm sorry, but I'd rather hurt your feelings than see you go to hell. People think, oh, if you don't like what I'm doing, well, it's not a matter of whether I like it or not. It's a matter of whether it's right or not. And I didn't say it. God said it. I'm not up here judging you. I don't judge you. That's up to God. But I am the messenger, and I am the watchman, and I'm here to tell you, look out. It's coming. It's already here. I would not be doing my duty if I didn't do that. I would not, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you that. You wouldn't dare drive by a house on fire and not stop to see if there's somebody in there, would you? Well, the world is on fire. It's burning up and it's going to be totally consumed. We need to tell people, hey, it's on fire. You're headed the wrong way. Worldly thinking is powerful. Don't underestimate it. It is powerful and it's attractive. People like it. Why is the diet so hard? Now, be honest. Why is the diet so hard? I know I'm stepping on toes now, right? Why is the diet so hard? Because we like to eat. It don't taste good. I asked Dad one time when he first went to a cardiologist, and he said he did this, and he put me on a diet. I said, uh-oh. What's your diet, Dad? What kind of diet are you on? He looked at me without cracking a smile, and he said, if it tastes good, I can't eat it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, I found out all the taste is in salt, it's in sugar, and it's in fat. I can't have either three. He said, I just might as well not eat. And sometimes we feel like that's the case, that, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that. But see, what we misunderstand is the things God's got for us a lot better than what the world has. You know, the worldly thinking will tell you, I'm in the majority. And it probably is. It probably is. There probably are more people on this planet that think that way than think this way. But, and here's another big but, the broad way filled with people is the way that leads to destruction. The narrow path filled with few people is the way that leads to life everlasting. Do you want to be in the majority and go to hell? Or do you want to be in the minority and spend eternity with God? That's the choice. Worldly thinking is walking in darkness. It's walking in darkness. We were watching, you guys know the show that comes on TV, Live PD? It's got, you know, about police shows. Well, there's a live rescue now as well. And this was in San Bernardino County. There was a brush fire, a bad one. And